trials are just a test.
These trials,
just a test of your faith. So stand strong,
stand
strong, and dry your weeping eyes. 'Cause joy comes in the morning, and everything is gonna be all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. God, thank you for meeting us here in your house. Allow your Holy Spirit to take us now into a whole new arena. to unfold your truths before us tonight. And even that we do, as you lead us, let us be receptive and accepting of what you share with us so that you may show us a better way, your way. Now, Lord, bless every saint who has sacrificed to be here tonight. Don't let them leave here the same way they came. And we bless your name even in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. I'm so grateful we are starting this month of love, February, and Black History Month all together. And we're going to deal with some issues again that I think are so prevalent and pertinent that we understand so that we can get the best out of what God has for us in relationships. Relationships are not, and I don't want us to limit relationships to that of a man and a woman. You would rob yourself of the principles that are applicable in any arena. If you learn these principles in every area where you have a relationship with someone, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's platonic, whatever the case is, these principles are applicable or applicable. You can use them, so don't limit yourself to thinking it's just between a husband and a wife, etc., etc., etc. So again, we're going to start off our month of teaching, and we're going to do two Wednesday nights on this subject. Repairing ruptured relationships. Now, this is so important because of the not only the immensity of the message, but the massiveness of the message. It's going to require us to deal a little more with this, because tonight all I'll be able to do is give you the outline, but I do want you, if you have paper and pen, to jot it down, because next week when we go over the scriptures, we won't have to spend so much time on the outline. So what's important about this is, again, that if you form it, you set it up, you get it right, and so forth and so on, God's going to meet you right there, because he's going to by his spirit, because all of it is the essence of his word. There are principles found in his word. You're going to be ministered to tonight through where we are. But also, I want you to have the word to be able to refer to it, so that even when your feelings don't connect, you got the facts to connect. And so I think that's very important, especially as it relates to us understanding how God wants us to interact one with the other and even with the world. I want us to, again, take the time. If you do have some paper pencil, if you don't, you may need to borrow some. I want you to get this. If not, it's going to be going over next week, but we're not going to spend time dealing with as much of the outline as much as we're going to deal with the scriptures behind the outline. So we're going to walk through it tonight and set it up so that we can have a greater understanding of repairing ruptured relationships. All right. First thing I want to deal with is definitions. First one is ruptured. Let's look at what ruptured means. Now, if you don't have pen, paper with you and so forth, you remember these words, you look them up again. They will be available next Wednesday, again on the screen, but just look them up again. The process of breaking open or bursting, the state of being broken open or burst, a break in friendly relations, breach or disturb our harmonious situation. When something is ruptured, it does not flow, nor does it function the way that it was designed to. When something is ruptured, something is broken, something is not affixed in a flow in a consistent manner, and so something, while there may be an existence, there is not a continuation of flow like it ought to be. If something, again, is ruptured, it does not have the ability to flow or function the way that it should. All right, also, I want you to look at relations, because relations set the foundation up for relationships. Relations, the connections, dealings, or associations drawing together persons, groups, or nations in personal, business, or diplomatic affair. This has to do, again, with relations. That's how we, again, bring our connection. Now, the next one is going to make it a little clearer. Relationship, the way in which two or more people or things are connected. So now, you might have a relationship with mom and pop. That's family relations. You have a friend, and you all are, you know, good friends. That, again, is platonic relations. Again, husband and wife, that's married relations. And all of these, you have relationships, and what makes them the ship is the connection of your common interest. So relations, again, feed into relationships, and you understand the reason why you ought to be in anything is because there is a mutuality between you and the person that you're in a relationship with. Now, the Bible says, what fellowship or relationship hath darkness with light? They are diametrically opposite of each other, and so they can never really have a meaningful nor a purposeful relationship. They are just some people you cannot have a relationship with. And if you are totally different, opposite, you are butting heads more than you're walking together, you might need to re-examine that, because the reality is, though the world says opposites attract, God has something different to say about that. Now, first of all, the word says, how can two walk together except they agree? Now, don't get me wrong. If there is a connection, a common purpose, or a common concern, or a common desire among folk, that is the bind by which folk enter into relationships. Again, if our interest, we then love football together, then we become football fans and friends because of what? If it's basketball and we have the love of that, and we come, and again, relationships depend on your connection. Now, as it relates to a man and a woman, God has said that you ought not be unequally yoked. I do believe in my heart that a whole lot of folk miss this point and this principle. The word says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. We're going to deal with these scriptures next week. But one of the things that you've got to understand, everything that is connected has not been connected by God. But now, because you were a consenting person in the connection, you cannot disconnect just because you did not check and see whether that connection was right in the first place. In other words, Paul said, for all you folk now who want to use the fact, well, my husband ain't saved, my wife ain't saved, you should have thought about that before you got married. Now that you are, he's not saying go divorce them because you recognize now, which you already knew then, in the reality of that matter, that this is the reason why you disconnect from them. No, the reality is that you have got to understand that God wants you to understand you will never ever get out of anything what you're supposed to get out of it if you are in it with a person who can't provide it. Y'all ain't got to say, man, I know I'm right about it. I want you to understand, when you're equally yoked, it doesn't just mean believers with unbelievers. It means believers who are going in the same direction at the same pace with the same design or destiny. See, it's the same way that you understand, you know, things logically, but even spiritually, it's got to make sense. If we are not in agreement, in accordance, have the same kind of spiritual maturity, and where we are in the same place, then it's going to be difficult for us to be able to walk together or to agree. A babe has a difficult understanding as it relates to the maturity of a saint who has been with the Lord and has exercised their faith. They're going to be in two different places. The Bible has made clear that the mate can hinder your prayers if you all are not where you ought to be. So even though you can both be saved, one can be carnal, the other can be spiritual. One could be mature, the other could be immature. That hinders your walk with God. So you got to understand, equal, being equal, does not necessarily mean being saved and unsaved, being unequally yoked. Being equal means having all things common. When you suffer that difference, you're going to understand that's going. Okay, again, let me just make it plain, because I want us to understand this in the context, not only of scripture, but in life. Why is it that when we allow, and you must understand that you can only think on that has been provided or input. Your mind is like a computer. It processes what's been put in it. Now, if nothing good has been put in it, you're not going to think on nothing that's good. You're going to think on what's been put there. Now, if the world tells you that opposite attracts and all the rest of this kind of stuff, and you don't have no word to counteract all of this kind of reality, what you're going to find out is that you're going to be a frustrated and disgusted saint in a situation wondering how you got yourself in that, and more than that, why you staying in that. And then you don't want to get loose from that, because then you break another law and you deal with all that. So you just a messed up saint. No wonder you go around looking sour all day and act like you ain't got no joy, because you're missing the reality of understanding. If we are going together, okay, if you are not an exciting person, I mean, who is high strung and so forth and so on, you may be a person who's low key and so forth. That's all right if you don't mind the opposite being that way. But if you got a problem with that in the beginning, what makes you think you're not going to have a problem with that in the ending? If they get on your nerves dating with all of that, don't you think they're going to get on your nerves when you're stuck with all that? I mean, let's be real. Marriage does not change the reality of what is, it magnifies it. I said it doesn't change it, it. In other words, you didn't see it like you gonna see it when it's right next to you every day. You rejoice when it's time to go to work and you start crying when it's time to go home. Something's wrong with that picture. What's wrong? Why you say it? I gotta go home. Why you staying working all that overtime? I need somebody to work late. Let me make a call. Baby, I'm gonna be late tonight. I got to work late. Something's wrong with that picture. Home should be the closest resemblance of heaven on earth. It should be your sanctuary, your place that you look forward to. Matter of fact, you ought to leave home looking back at home. I sure hate to be gone. Can't wait to get back home. That ought to be the reality of what home is all about. Brought about by two people who are on the same level, going the same direction, desiring the same thing, and working toward that same goal. So when you understand that, it brings this again to that part here. I hope that you've gotten the definition down. If not, we'll get it next week. Now look, again, because we're talking about ruptured relationships, and I just drew out a few of them just so you could understand these principles are applicable in all of these different areas. Sometimes we can have ruptured relationships in family with immediate members of our family. You got folk who are blood brothers and sisters who can't stand, don't talk to, don't communicate, don't fellowship with one another. You got folk who are married into other families, don't have nothing to do with the in-laws. All of that's a part of, and that's what you got to be careful too. When you marry that person, you marry all that person's connections. Yeah. Go home, meet mama. Meet the brothers and sisters. Meet all them folk, because you know one day you're gonna have to say, this is my family. And you best understand, I know you're not married to them, but you are connected to them by marriage. And again, you've got to understand that you have to adopt the same reality. Now that this is a connection now made, your family becomes my family becomes your family. It all is just an extended reality of what we share together. Again, in the financial realm, that can be rupture in relationships financially, either because folk owe you and have not paid you, or folk you owe and you're ducking and dodging. Rupture in friendships and associates and acquaintances and people that you have come together and to build and develop relationships with can be ruptured. And again, work relationships, that can be rupture because of an employee treating you bad or other employees that you have differences with. Ruptures in all of those areas. Ruptures in romance, because a whole lot of folk don't understand intimacy. Intimacy is not sexuality. And see, sometimes you've got to be able to communicate and articulate the truth of a thing when you understand. First of all, you've got to understand the nature of a man and the nature of a woman. And then you've got to communicate those needs. Women, most women, not all, because not all men are the same, and we're just speaking generally here. I mean, they're affectionate, they're touchy-feely, they just like to be embraced and so forth and so on. Man is not always like that. So he has to make and adjust his mind to understand it's not just about him. He has to make some time. She might just want to hold hands, eat popcorn, watch a movie. He's like, baby, do we have to hold hands while we eat? I like to hold my drink in one hand and eat my popcorn in the other. You know, you got to make a compromise some kind of way. Intimacy is sharing the deeper and more personal, personable realities underneath the skin. Intimacy is bringing that person who is without within. That is what intimacy is really all about. It is that reality that sets the stage for all of the rest that is to interplay within the married relationship. Again, if that is done, it doesn't start in the bed, it starts in the head. So again, like I said, it's calling from work said, I just called to say I. Yeah, baby, what you doing? Thinking about that kind of, and vice versa, I mean, there are things that a woman does. I mean, if she's packing her husband, like, put a little note up there saying, I love you, baby, when you eat this snack. Like all I had to go through to make it for you. I'm being humorous here, but there are things that, little things that keep you focused and bring you in that place that, and all of these are things that happen, and a lot of folk miss that because they don't understand it, and the relationship become ruptured. Like somebody's got to be messed up now with the cell phone ringing in service here now. All right, religion is another area where we are ruptured in the relationship with God because, again, we don't understand what God wants from us, and many times when we understand it, we still don't yield. We are ruptured many times in our relationship with God when we refuse to grow and go to the next level. And many times our relationship is ruptured with God when we don't feel we get from God what we think we deserve from God. Why is God giving such and such this? And I live better than them. I pay my tithes. I do this. I do that. On and on and on. All of these are issues and areas where we have in relationships some ruptures. Now, I want to talk about the usual causes of rupture. First of all, insensitivity is the foundation upon which most ruptures turn into destruction if they are played out to their fullest. It all begins with insensitivity. If you have pen and paper, please write these down. Insensitivity. Now, again, when you begin to understand what is the motive of insensitivity, it begins usually with selfishness, being selfish. Don't be embarrassed, turn it off. All right, insensitivity begins with selfishness, being selfish. And selfish, again, has to do with you thinking it's all about you. I know you all of that. But when it's in relationship, it's not all about you. The next thing that progresses from selfishness is this. Self-centeredness. We become self-centered. If it's not us taking the desire and the design to make things work for us, we have got to be the center of attraction. Everything has got to be centered around us. We get attitude and all the rest of that. If we are not the center of attention and we become self-centered in that, we want everything to gravitate to us and we don't want to do our part. We don't want to extend. We don't want to reach out. And many times with that, we become stubborn. We become stubborn. All of these are progressive realities, again, that serve to rupture relationships. Because while a person may accept that or allow that, as it continues to get worse from selfish to self-centeredness and then to stubbornness, the next thing that you recognize happens in a relationship is it calls for that next person or that partner or that mate to become insecure. And so insecurity sets in the relationship because one, that person feels insufficient, and insufficiency in a person, whether it's because of low self-esteem, whether it's because they have issues, again, that they've not dealt with in themselves, whatever the case is, when that person treats them like they're less than an equal partner in the relationship, then it brings about an inferiority complex. So inferior spirits realm, reign in that realm. And so that's another problem because mates should not feel like one is superior and the other is inferior. It should be a balance there, that I need you just as much as you need me. What we also must understand is that relationships, even everything that God brings to the table. When you look at the relationship between Adam and Eve, when Eve came on the scene, I've said this and shared this with you before, she didn't have to bring to the table the same thing Adam brought to the table. Why? Because their roles were different. Okay? While she didn't have to bring to the table what Adam brought to the table, it was her job to sustain and maintain what was on the table. You see, again, I've shared with you, if you don't start the fire, your responsibility is to keep the fire burning. You still have a part to play. You still have a responsibility. Your role is not going to be the role of the man, but you have a role as a wife, according to Proverbs 31, that makes you the virtuous woman, that while he on the outside shines, it's because of who he has on the inside that makes it that reality. See, many times, again, in the Eastern culture, the woman was never seen in the public and business arenas and so forth, but you could always tell when a man had a good wife by the way he represented her in public. Amen. I've said it before, too, again, women, when your husband and your children go out in the public, it is a signature of you. If that man looks like any kind of thing, it's because he's got a any kind of thing at home. If those children leave out of there looking like any kind of thing, it's because their mama, and I mean, I'm just telling you the reality of it is. They may not ever see you, but when they see that child, they see how you care, how you're concerned, how you handle that situation, because it's a reflection upon you. That's the role. When Eve came, she was structured as his helpmeet. Help me. Well, what does that mean? That means to help him fulfill the vision and the goal as the head, as the priest, as the one that God has structured in that relationship to be the one that literally takes the realms, or the reins rather, and take the word, take the work, take all that God has entrusted to him to another level. He can't be all that he could be without his helpmeet. That's why God said when he saw that man was by himself, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Well, because the reality is God has designed us to depend on one another. The greatest man has to have a great woman with him to make him completely great. And that's why the reality is that all that you are supposed to be will never, ever be realized unless God has so structured, and this is generally speaking, there are places and points and times where God structures people to be certain things, and he so fixes them underneath the skin that way. That's why Paul was saying about the issue of marriage, that he wished all men were as he. He wished that people didn't have to even enter into marriage relationships so they could serve the Lord with all their heart, that they could give and do all their time to the Lord. But he said that's not every man's gift. And because he says that, he says you need to recognize that, because Paul's issues and his needs were not the same as normal men. His focus and his purpose, he had been divinely designed to serve God in the manner that was consistent with his entire effort and life. And so God gave him an extra measure of all that he needed to be self-contained. So he turns and he says, but if a man cannot contain, let him marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. Meaning not only with passion, but burning also in hell as the end result of living in sin. And so again, you've got to understand that we cannot be inferior one to another. Just because one has accomplished something more does not mean that they are more than the mate. And listen at this, because a good mate never ever allows the accomplishments that they have gained in life to be more important than their mate in life. They don't hold that over their head and say, well, look, you ought to be grateful, thankful. Because listen at this, if they don't do anything for you, you're with the wrong person. I'm gonna go on, because the next thing that happens in insecurity is imagination. After insufficiency and inferiority complexes, the imagination kicks in like you won't believe. The imagination will wear you out because the imagination becomes so strong that it's hard to define what's real and what is imagined. You begin to see stuff that's not there, hear stuff that's not there. You begin to feel stuff because of what you imagine. You take on a whole new realm where your imagination literally creates for you your own hell. It can be nothing to it at all, but your imagination run wild through inferiority complexes and insufficiency in yourself, and you begin to think all kinds of things. Anybody ever been there?